Hey guys, it's Sammy
and Robbie
back again to tell you about another upcoming con,
and we're super excited about this one.
It's another Indiana one. This one is Pop Con, Indie Pop Con to be exact, and it's going to be in Indianapolis again at the Convention Center,
Indiana Convention Center,
right in downtown Indianapolis. And Robbie will be there April 26th through the 28th.
Yes. We were just at the Indiana Comic-Con, so if you missed us, you get a chance to meet us again at PopCon.
Yes, well, at least Robbie.
At least me. Ashley will be there.
Oh, yeah, and Ashley will be there. That's an exciting thing.
Ashley will be there, so you get to meet a lot of us on the network.
Yeah, two-thirds.
Two-thirds of it, yes.
There you go. Yeah.
So if you're coming to the show, please stop by the Limitless Broadcasting booth. We're always excited to see you.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see you guys at the show.
Bye.
Bye. You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Sammy.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Shall we begin?
It's time to get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational show!
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan.
Good morning, everyone.
Dan. And produced by Limitless Broadcasting. Dan.
Oh, that's how everyone says my name in my life. Dan.
it's such like such gusto a behind it.
I feel like you're in college being the girls are always like, Dan.
Oh, that one too.
There's like no in between. Okay.
No.
It's either like really happy or like really gravitas.
Interesting.
Well, just calling you Dan or Danny.
Dan.
Has anybody ever called you Danny?
In high school, and I hated every minute of it. So.
Okay.
I feel like that's weird.
Never call me that.
It's
weird. My dad's name is Danny, so it's just weird to call you Danny. So it's just like going Dan. It feels different than like when I hear people call my dad his name, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
no, I won't ever like officially call you that. That would be odd.
I appreciate that.
Unless you changed your mind, like had this weird personality change and you're like, guys, I'm Danny now.
I don't know what would happen, like have to happen to me in order for that to be a thing.
Strange.
Like.
Strange.
It would be a weird, weird time.
A weird world. Alternate universe.
Yeah. It would be a branch off of Loki's tree thingy going
on. Oh, no. I don't know if we want to go back to that. It's too much for my brain.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe we're filming April already.
I don't know.
Or, like, we're almost done
like,
with April.
I was going to say, actually, we're basically done at this point with April.
We have two more episodes of April. This one and then one more. And then we're done with April and we're going to be filming for May.
Yeah.
It's like crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah. Oh, how was House of Mouse?
Okay.
Tell the people who you met.
So the good thing was we met lots of cool people. We interviewed Jason Marsden, a.k.a. Max Goof, a.k.a. Thackeray Binks, a.k.a. like a million other people. We got to actually sit and talk to him. That was awesome. We got to meet Goofy, the voice of Goofy, Bill Farmer, and talk to him. So nice. His interview is super short, but he's like the nicest guy. And he did, as soon as he sat down, he did like the Goofy laugh and I just died. I was like, this is my childhood right here. It's just awesome. And I was like, we're doing a whole summer. We're going to talk about the Goof Troop. And just nerding out. Yeah. Nice. So we met him. That was very cool. And then we met Leilani, who we are actually going to be interviewing next week.
I'm part so of excited.
Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Very exciting. Yes, yes. But besides that, we just met a lot of other cool vendors. We interviewed another guy named Chris. I'm going to put his interview out. I have to edit all this fun stuff and put it together. But he will... he'll share his story. He's autistic and he writes books and it's just very cool. And then we interviewed another podcaster who's really into Marvel. So I kind of let Robbie lead that interview because I was like, I'm not smart enough to do this entire.
It's like, we're lucky to get through Marvel March.
Right.
Yeah. It was very cool though. She's super nice. And I think we should have her back sometime on the actual show. And we met some other podcasters. Yeah, probably I'll ask her. Yeah. We met some other podcasters that I'd love to have on the show, too, just to talk to us who are big.
Nice.
You know, they've done like 300 and some episodes of their show. So they're a little ahead of us.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they're very nice people. Yeah.
Hey, we're almost at our 3-year mark. Wait, no.
We're almost to 200. Yeah, no, so we're almost to 200. Yeah. So
I know it's well over 100. I know it was 200 or not.
Mm-hmm, almost to two.
We're coming up on our third anniversary. Wait.
This is 2024. Yeah.
21, 22, 23, 24.
Yes. They have been doing theirs since, I think, 2018.
Gotcha.
If I recall.
Yeah. So like Brett's old podcast, they've been doing it since like around then. And they have like over 300 episodes.
Yeah. Which so makes
nice.
Sense.
Nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was the exact month of the anniversary?
It's like May 11th. May 11th.
That's right, you started in Star Wars month.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Our
We did not the first year. That evolved,
we did the parks. We started with like actual Disney World and like Walt Disney and did the parks, which I think we talked about revisiting that next year and like redoing it because it's been.
Well, I think we're doing episodes this year, I think.
Oh, maybe it's this year. I don't know.
This year we're doing some episodes at some point. Yeah.
But, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad you guys met some cool people at House of Mouse. Yeah. I'm excited because this month is Indiana Comic Con and I'm actually going to be down there with Robbie. Not Brett. Brett's not doing it.
I was
it.
Like, is Brett going to be running it? No. He might be a little overwhelmed.
Yeah, I know. I'll be down there with Robbie. Yes. I'm excited. I'll be there on Saturday. His post said Saturday and Sunday. And
I know I explained this to you. And I was just, we were eating dinner last night. And it popped in my head. And I was like, so, yeah, you know, Ashley's going to be there just Saturday, right? And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So we'll correct it at some point. But yeah, I'll be down there Saturday. So I'm super excited because they released some other people. And not only is Hayden going to be there, but Rosario Dawson.
Yes.
It's going to be there. And we're talking about her next week. And I'm so excited because she's my favorite Star Wars character. So her and Ashley Eccleston, whatever his last name is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dunn, Ahsoka are like my favorite people in the Star Wars. Other than the droid people, like obviously. The droids are first and then Ahsoka.
Understood.
And everyone else.
I'm so jealous. Really it's going to be exciting.
I am so excited.
You have to do the thing I do because we always talk about the podcast, right? And so, you know, now that you'll be there in my place, we like to do this thing. So when I was meeting people, we'd say I'm one half of the Pixie Dust twins or no, one third. I'm sorry. One third of the Pixie Dust twins. And everyone go, huh? What? And then I'd be like, so.
I was thinking about wearing my Pixie Dust ears.
Yeah, mine were on Michael. I don't know. I may send them, you know, because it's not a traditional spooky con. So I may send them for Michael to wear again, you know.
Molly's there. I was going to wear, like, my bow fell off again. It just doesn't want to stay on. So I don't know.
My bow is perfectly fine. And like I said, mine's like travel places and that's so annoying.
Mine stays in one spot on top of my shelf and the bow just doesn't want to stay on.
It's rude. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know why it hates you.
But super excited. But today we got to finish up the Back to the Future series or trilogy because there's only three episodes. And we are on Back to the Future 3.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. Yes. So stranded in 1955, Marty McFly learns about the death of Doc Brown in 1885. And must travel back in time to save him. With no fuel readily available for the DeLorean, the two must figure how to escape the Old West before Emmett is murdered. Dun, dun, dun.
So exciting.
But none other than Tom Wilson, who plays all the people.
Every rendition of Biff, Tom Wilson. It's just
again.
Whole Biff line.
All of Tom Wilson.
Of course, director is Robert Zemeckis. Writers, Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale. Did I get it right this time?
Zemeckis.
Yeah.
Zemeckis. Sorry. Anyway,
I didn't want to be that guy, but like it's Zemeckis.
I was hoping. I said it so confidently too, and I was still wrong.
Yeah. That's what you got to do. Just act like you know what you're talking about. It's fine. Most people won't notice. It's cool.
It's true. They'd be like, "What is it? Whatever. It's fine."
Of course, starring Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd, and then introducing Mary Steenburgen, who plays Clara, who I absolutely adore. She is amazing. And this was actually released May 25th in 1990. So I was two. Yep. My brother was 2 days old.
Wow.
1990.
Crazy.
I was almost three.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
I just turned two. Box office, they budgeted, estimated about $40 million. It grossed in the U.S. and Canada a total of $88,277,583. Opening weekend, it was $19 million. And that was the 25th through the 27th opening weekend. Mm-hmm. And then gross worldwide, $245 million. So, did way, way above its budget.
Apparently. Yeah. That's good.
There was only one tagline for this movie. It says they've saved the best trip for last, .. But this time, they may have gone too far.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like this one. I love the Old West.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So some trivia. When filming the scene where Buford Mad Dog Tannen tries to lynch Marty, Michael J. Fox was accidentally hanged, rendering him unconscious for a short time. He records that this in his autobiography, Lucky Man, that was 2002. Oops. So they actually accidentally hung him.
Now, I remember hearing about that. Yeah, he genuinely got hurt.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyways.
Okay.
You kind of, it's like, you can kind of tell when he comes down, it's like, he does not sound like he's acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Like, he sounds like he's actually out of breath.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So Clint Eastwood was actually asked permission about his name being used for Marty in the film. He consented and was said to be tickled by the homage.
Oh,
that's cool.
That's cute. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Marty uses a Frisbee's pie plate to knock a gun out of Mad Dog's hands. In 1871, the Frisbee Pie Company started in Connecticut, and their pie pans were enthroned on the campus of Yale, and this eventually led to the invention of the Frisbee.
Oh,
nice.
So he invented it years to, 1871, so he actually was already invented.
Mm-hmm.
No? Wait.
Cool. No.
They didn't say when on the campus of Yale, but, you know.
Very cool.
Yeah. Tom Wilson, who plays everyone, Mad Dog, performed all of his horse riding stunts himself. He also did the trick where he lassos Marty just before he meets Doc in 1885.
Wow. That guy's a beast.
Wow. That's insane.
Honestly, if I was doing a movie where I was riding, where I had to be riding a horse and doing horse tricks, I would want to learn all of them too, but that's just because I'm a horse person.
Sure.
And like, heck yeah, let me learn how to lasso. I will lasso the crap out of people. Yeah,
I'd be the same way. I mean, how often do you get to lasso somebody like in the real world?
Rare. Right?
Very true. Yes.
Yeah. When Doc and Marty are at the drive-in preparing the DeLorean for the trip to 1885, Marty mentions Clint Eastwood and Doc replies, "Clint who?" In this shot, there is a movie poster on the drive-in's wall showcasing Revenge of the Creature and Tarantula, containing some of the first film appearances of a young, then unknown Eastwood. Ooh. Marty even looks to and briefly points to the poster as he says to Doc, "That's right, you haven't heard of him yet." let's see here. The three old-timers in the saloon who were played by Dub Taylor, Pat Bertram and Harry Carey Jr., who played sidekicks, town drunks, and colorful town folk in hundreds of westerns and television shows.
Okay.
Also, one of them, I don't know which one it is, but like when you're watching the scene, it's the one all the way to the right. His voice is, he does a lot of voice acting too, because his voice is very specific to a lot of Disney things that I can't mm-hmm. put my finger on.
Mm-hmm.
Like I heard it, I'm like, I know that voice. And Brent's like, he does act like voice acting.
Aristocats. He was one of the dogs, I believe, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one that stood out to me as a kid. I was like, wait,
He's also, let's see here. I'll have to look it up later, but he also is like a voice on some of the old 90s Disney Channel stuff mm-hmm. that I just can't uh-huh. put my finger on to figure it out.
Yeah, I recognized that like crackly, well, you know, must have gotten there shirt, like that whole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Alice in Wonderland. He also does a voice in Alice in Wonderland. I just don't remember which one it is. I believe so.
Is he the Mad Hatter?
Might be.
Hmm.
I'll look this up while we're doing like our thoughts.
Okay.
And then in 1885, time setting was partly due to a suggestion by Michael J. Fox, who had commented to producers how he always thought it would be fun to act in a Western.
Oh,
nice.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Actor and former president Ronald Reagan was originally approached to play the part of Mayor Hubbard because of his fondness for the first film in the trilogy. He reluctantly turned on the role and the part went to Hugh Gillen instead. Had Reagan appeared, it would have marked his first appearance in a film in nearly 30 years.
Wow.
Nice. That would have been fun.
That would have been a fun cameo. Yeah.
I would have been good with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the character of Clara Clayton. Okay, and by the way, when they said Clara's last name, Clayton, the first thing I thought of is she related to Clayton in Tarzan? Same time period.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's could be.
First thought came to my mind. Yeah.
Could be.
But she's actually a reference to Clara Clemens, Samuel Clemens, who's Mark Twain,
mm-hmm.
Daughter. So Clara Clemens went on a sleigh ride with her future husband, Austin. Gabrielowski.
Gabrielo which?
Wait, where is it?
Yeah, it's
the big paragraph. You'll see the last name. But anyways, her future husband Ossip. That's an interesting name. The horse took fright from a windswept newspaper and bolted while the husband lost control. At the top of a hill next to a 50-foot drop, the sleigh overturned, throwing Clemens out. Ossip leaped to the ground and caught the horse by the head, stopping it as it was about to plunge over the bank, dragging Clemens with her dress caught in a runner. So she almost, Clara Clemens, Mark Twain's daughter, almost died over an edge.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Yep. And then, of course, the part of Seamus McFly was originally written for Crispin Glover, but we all know Crispin and his rudeness.
Crispin okey-doked from this franchise, so yeah.
I know! I'm like, you dumb-dumb! Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always wondered that, too. I was like, why is that Michael like, shouldn't that be, like, George or whatever?
I know,
it's just weird that it's Michael.
Once again, doing the Marty and his mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Same scene over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. I do not care for that. Because
all well, not just that, but like now that he's playing the role that his would have been his father. Yeah. So it's like,
yeah.
I don't like it.
Bob Zemeckis has some mommy issues. Let's just leave it at that.
Probably.
Okay. Very well could be.
Oh my gosh. And then writer-producer Bob Gale owns two pieces of the destroyed DeLorean, the time circuit display, and a table lamp made out of Mr. Fusion by special effects supervisor Michael Lentieri. I don't know.
Lentieri? I don't know.
Michael.
Something.
Guy named
Whatever.
Michael.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. So yeah, some interesting little tidbits.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
What are you guys' thoughts on Back to the Future 3 while I figure out the other issue?
Ian, take it away, Dan.
Back to the Future 3. Well, first of all, this is interesting. I didn't know this until a while back, but evidently when they were developing the script, part three technically wasn't really supposed to exist. Like it was going to be the end of part two where they go back into the Old West. But the script ended up being way too long and they had already covered so much that they decided, oh, let's just stretch it out into three movies.
Good job.
So, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. It's interesting how that ended on a cliffhanger, though. I don't know if that was like, I don't know, because I've been thinking about like trilogies over, you know, the like big blockbuster movies like that. And then Star Wars really kind of set the tone for what trilogies kind of would become. You know what I mean? Like you have one movie that kind of stands on its own and then you have the second two that are like one continuous story.
Yeah.
You know, like when it ends on a cliffhanger, you have like Star Wars, Back to the Future, The Matrix trilogy, Hunger Games. Yeah.
Pirates. Just forget about the others.
Yeah, it's a trilogy.
It's a trilogy. No. So, but yeah, I like that this one has such a, I don't know, there's a slower pace to this one and that the other two didn't have. And it's like, it's nice. It's really, it feels really like, I don't know, it's just different. It's a very different feel than the first two. I like that Doc gets to step into a more sort of heroic role this time around. Because up until now, you know, like every situation that Marty's gotten himself into, he's pretty much been able to get himself out, more or less, right?
Right.
But this one, like if Doc hadn't shown up when he was, you know, being hanged, he probably would have actually died.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, I like that we get to see Doc as a person. As opposed to just, you know, we actually get to see Emmett Brown as a person. Like, look at that. He's a human being. He has feelings.
Yeah, he loves.
He loves. Like that too.
You know, he enjoys the morning air and he likes, you know, he's in his element. He's really in his element. Yeah. Not just crazy Doc Brown. So this is kind of funny. For the longest time growing up, I actually thought Clint Eastwood was a genuine historical figure. Like Jesse James or like Billy the Kid or something.
I probably did too growing up.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, well, Marty's just stepping into the role of like a historical figure. That's why. And then I was like, and then I realized what they actually did. Like, oh no, it's just an homage to the actor. So,
that's cute.
Did we talk about it? Like, I love that there was like, there was a cool setup in the second one too, for what would eventually, be the showdown. When in the second movie where Marty goes to Biff's hotel and he's watching that Clint Eastwood movie, it was The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, or
we did not talk about that.
Nope.
We didn't talk about it.
No. Yeah.
We did not.
No.
Yeah, we glossed over it. Yeah, in the second movie, Marty goes into Biff's hotel and that's what he's watching. He's watching that scene where he's wearing like he has the showdown, like Clint Eastwood, the man with no name, and he gets shot, but he's wearing that like makeshift bulletproof vest, like a metal plate, you know, which totally sets up what he ends up doing in the third, at the end of the third movie.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to be honest, I have never really watched those types of Westerns, so I wouldn't have put that two and two together.
I don't think I would have either. Yeah. Because of the same thing. Yeah.
I mean, neither did I until I saw this movie. I just just thought it was interesting that they acted out that exact same like trope, you know, he gets shot, reveals the thing, hits him with the thing.
Well, I mean, how would it makes sense that Marty is influenced by media during this time, because we've already seen multiples of it throughout the trilogy.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
It's that same sort of chicken or the egg kind of thing that we did with Johnny B. Goode as well.
Oh yeah.
Makes my brain hurt.
Exactly. Anyway, so what else? I know this isn't actually a Joss Whedon joke, but there's one joke in there that I always laugh at where they're at the dance. It's very much a Joss Whedon type of joke where, you know, Mag Dog, he causes a big ruckus and whatever. And then, he basically just says, has the showdown with Marty / Clint. He's like, you know, let's finish this right now. And the guy's like, oh, well, no, we can't finish. He's got our guns. We're going to finish this tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow we're robbing the Pine City stage. What about Monday? Would we do anything Monday? I don't know. You can get on. I'll be back this way on Monday.
I do love that.
I agree.
I do. Yes.
That is very Joss Whedon.
Yeah. That is like bad guys trying to be so intimidating and just failing at it.
Mm-hmm.
So much fun.
Sounds like something we'd hear on Firefly.
It does sound like something we'd hear on Firefly.
Mm-hmm. It's too funny.
Oh, yeah. Firefly. I haven't watched that in a while. I need to get that out.
I rewatch that every couple of years or so, roughly.
It's been a while since I watched the TV show or the movie, and I love both. Mm-hmm. I mean, the TV show's the best, but they didn't do a bad job with the movie either.
The movie holds up pretty well.
Actually, I think that was the first thing I watched. Holly had me watch the movie first.
Yeah.
And then she's like, there is a TV show. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, let's do it.
Now all this stuff makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what else. When Doc says goodbye to Clara, you know, when he has to tell her like where he's actually from, that one just like that wrecks me every time. Because he's being so genuine. Yeah. Like he's genuinely telling the truth, and she thinks he's just some fool who wants to get with her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I found a person.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Pat.
Okay.
I was wrong. It wasn't Mad Hatter, but he was Napoleon in Aristocat. He's the sheriff of Nottingham in Robin Hood. That was tripping me up.
Yep.
He was Luke in The Rescuers.
Okay.
He was the chief in The Fox and the Hound, which we normally don't talk about.
No.
I forgot about Luke from The Rescuers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was bullet number one in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's Bicycle Bob in Tiny Toon Adventures.
Tiny Toon.
He's like Cactus Jack, Jimmy, and Joe in Garfield and Friends. He's also the voice of Eddie in Rugrats. And Possum Park MC in the Goofy movie.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay.
And that was his last thing because he died in 94. So, like, he did it before he voiced a Goofy movie before he passed. Well, he was 78 in 94. He was born in 1915.
Oh, okay.
He old.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
So, yeah, Sheriff of Nottingham, that was the one that I'm like, there's one voice.
As soon as you said that, it was instant yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I can hear it. Yes.
Yeah. For me, it was Napoleon and Luke from The Rescuers, because those are the two movies I watched consistently growing up.
I remember Luke from The Rescuers.
He was like the backwoods guy who was always chugging moonshine.
Oh!
Luke, Ailey, Matt, and Evenrude.
So I watched The Rescuers Down Under more than the original Rescuers. I like Down Under better.
I think I did too, generally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Down Under first, and then I saw the original one and ended up liking the original one better. Probably because I read the book as a kid. I read the book of the original one.
Okay.
So, because I remember like reading the book, The Rescuers, and then seeing Down Under, I was like, wait, this isn't the same story. Where's Penny? Where's Medusa? Where's Snoops? Where's all those guys?
Yeah, Medusa just scared me with her triangle boobs and
Medusa.
I just couldn't do it.
she cracks me up, honestly. Every time I watch that, her just over the top exaggeration, I laugh out loud.
I do like her.
She's hilarious now, but when I was a kid, I'm like, I don't know.
Medusa's pawn shop boutique.
She's
like carrying out this like huge pile of clothes, like stuffing it into the trunk, like clothes.
I feel like
when we talked about Yzma, when we did the Emperor's New Groove a long time ago, mm-hmm. I feel like Yzma and Medusa have to be related. Like, Medusa is her very, very far off, distant relative, like, in time, sort of deal.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
I could
say
it.
Same with Cruella.
They're drawn the same.
And Cruella, They're all related.
They're all related.
Yes.
Yep.
They're all part of the same family.
They really are. It's too funny.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Any other thoughts for this movie, Dan?
I guess I'll just end with easily had the best climax of all three movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the train chase. Like,
yeah.
Every time it finishes and then he goes back to 85 and he's like kind of going down that track, you know, the track in like present day. He's just kind of chilling. I feel legitimately drained every time I watch that. I'm just like,
it's intense. Yes.
That train scene tires me out.
Same. It is exhausting. Yes. So and stressful. Then
it's like, it doesn't want to give us a break because we're like, he's back. Okay, we can breathe. And then all of a sudden you hear,
yep.
And you're like,
oh, no. Yeah.
And then you think, oh. And then all of a sudden you hear the train and it's like, oh,
yeah. I know. And they're just like, wait a second.
And.
Yeah. You're giving us heart issues.
Why? Right. Why? Right. So much in like 5 minute times, man.
Oh. It does hurt to see the DeLorean destroyed, though.
Oh, my God.
It was necessary, but it's so hard.
I kind of forgot it got destroyed. Mm-hmm. So when I watched it and it got destroyed, I think I cried a little bit. I think there was a tear. Sad. I'm like,
I know.
Yeah.
No, no way. They did it apart nicely. But I mean, they didn't ever want it to be remade. So, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, they did the right. And yet they ended up making a train. Like,
I know. Then Doc shows up with
capabilities.
Yeah. A little freaking train. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is what it is.
Time traveling is too dangerous. Let's time travel in a train instead.
It's much safer than the DeLorean, didn't
apparently.
You know?
Apparently.
Well, I think it's funny that he had the hoverboard. So we got the hover technology.
That's true.
Because I forgot, I'm like, how did he get that thing to hover? It's like, oh, that's right.
Because he had the hoverboard, yep.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And then that plus, like, running, you know, the learning how to operate on steam. Yep. Doc was the original steampunk.
He started it all.
That's good.
Yeah. You have to wonder, like, it only took him maybe, what, 20 years, roughly? Because by the time he comes back, he's got two kids who are, like, you know, adolescent age. He looks significantly older, so.
Yeah. And that always interested me, because he always looks old anyways. He's always had white hair, right. So it's
Christopher
like.
Lloyd is just consistently old.
Exactly.
Well, okay, and I was watching, so I watch NCIS on a loop just on the background because that's my favorite show of all time. Mm-hmm. Well, I just got to an episode I forgot Lloyd was in, and he's playing a 95-year-old, and I'm like,
why not?
You were just always old.
Forever. Even when he's young, he looks old.
Yes, exactly.
When I watched him on the show, was it Taxi? Even then, he looked old.
Yes, he like looks the same. It's
how
bizarre.
Old was he during this? I don't even know how old Christopher Lloyd is.
Please look this up because it's just baffling how he always looks the same.
It's like, well, okay, you know
he's
how
like
we,
the opposite of Keanu Reeves.
Well, yes, Keanu Reeves, he is.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so he was born in 38. So this one came out in 1990. So 1990 minus 1938.
So he was in his like
50s.
So
he was in his early 50s when this one came out. So he started this movie trilogy in his 40s. So he was 40 looking like that with all the white hair.
Wow.
That's okay.
I mean, I think the white hair was a big part of it. Like, if he just had normal hair, like that would help somewhat.
Yes,
that really adds to the look. Yes,
so what? And he looks this. I mean, the difference between the 50s and the 80s is only 30 year difference, and he still has that white silvery hair in both of them. It's like, so is he just? Is he immortal? He like found out how to be immortal,
and that's the look he chose.
Why?
Oh, there's so many questions.
They did put him in old guy makeup in the very first movie, though. Like, they put him like old prosthetic makeup.
You can't tell. I'm going to be honest.
You can kind of tell. If you look closely, you can tell. Yeah.
I can't. Like, he looks the same to me in the first movie to the second movie.
That's how I feel, too. But I think it's just ingrained in my head.
When they referenced it in the second movie, because they put the old makeup on him again, but then he takes it off.
He takes it off, yes. Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, yeah, I just got an all-natural overhaul. He takes it off. What do you think? Like, you look the same.
There's no difference.
Oh, my gosh. He is 86 right now.
Wow.
Yeah, see, at this 86. Point, I would have been like, he's 120 because of all of this, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
That's too funny. Oh, my God.
Curious. Okay, so He has a spouse. He didn't get married till 2016 for the first time.
Really?
Wow.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
Huh. And so he
there's
has
hope no for everybody, guys. If y'all, that's something y'all are worried about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He has no kids. Wait, Sam Lloyd. Like, no, not the Sam I was thinking of. Yeah, he has a sibling, and his sibling already passed, but mm-hmm. he has no kids. And he has a wife named Lisa.
Hmm. Okay.
So 86 today, so he was 78?
Something like that.
Something like that when he got married?
Yeah.
Hmm. Hmm.
Yep.
That's cool.
Oh, he was a Klingon commander in Star Trek 3 in 84?
Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
And of course, Evil Judge Doom.
Of course.
Who framed Roger Rabbit.
Yep, one of the scariest villains of all time.
Yep, doesn't even look like him. Yes. Kind of forget it's him sometimes.
Like, I know it, but I don't know it. And I would, no. Mm-mm. I don't like to think about
it. Wait, he was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Yeah, I think I do remember him being in that.
I do not remember. We had to watch it. It was a Busco thing.
Okay.
Why did we watch it? I don't even remember.
Really? I had to read the book and watch it. Oh, no. You know what? That was when I was in Themes of Literature. Never mind.
Okay. I was like, I don't think I did any of that.
I did. That class made me sad because the people who are taking it, like, were ones who failed English and had to have an extra English credit. And I was actually in it because I wanted to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Same with creative writing. It's very annoying. I can't find it. Anyways.
Yeah. You know. Also in My Favorite Martian. He was Martin the Martian.
Mm, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in a lot.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff. Dennis the Menace, mm-hmm. he was the bad guy. Who also had
Lee
Thompson.
He was in an episode of Mandalorian.
Yeah.
He was.
We talked about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember that now, yeah. Because I was like,
oh, the Pagemaster!
Oh, jeez.
He was the Pagemaster, the voice. Or wait, was it real life? No, it was a cartoon.
I was like, wasn't it a cartoon? It's been a long time.
I was like, mm-hmm. I was certain it was a cartoon. He has such a long list, it's taking me forever. What am I looking for? His first acting credit is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh,
he was Tabor.
Okay.
I do not remember who Tabor is.
I don't remember. I remember he's in it, but I just don't remember that much about.
I had that movie because I had to, and I gave it away. I don't have it anymore.
Mm.
But, yeah. Anywho, anything else with Back to the Future? Sammy, thoughts?
No, I think we covered.
You already covered
your
thoughts?
Honestly, everything's been covered, yeah. It's just fun, you know?
Yeah.
Wispy sad, but, you know.
Yeah. It's definitely my second favorite out of the trilogy. I love this one. I mean, the first one will always be my favorite, but
yeah.
this one was really good. I love the Old West. I like Tannen's character more in this one than in the other ones.
Same.
Like, yeah. I'm not a fan of Biff. I'm not a fan. Like, no one should be a fan of Biff or...
No,
or
there's... Mm-hmm. Any version of Biff is bad.
Yeah, any rendition of Biff is bad. But I thought that Mad Dog Tannen was the better character out of all of them.
I did like
Mad Dog is just brute Wild West grunt. Like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. he fights, he shoots, he drinks, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Old West brute.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Christopher Lloyd as a cowboy is good.
He did well. Perfect setting for him. Right. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Michael J. Fox in that colorful outfit.
Oh my gosh.
No.
I love Doc. He's like, who dressed you?
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah. Which, to be fair, he tried to ask him about it before he left. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Haven't you ever seen a Western?
Have you?
No. Have you? Right. Because you did this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. No, this was a great movie to end the trilogy.
Yeah.
It's always kind of a hit or miss on trilogy sometimes if mm-hmm. they wrap up well. And mm-hmm. this really did wrap up well. I feel like him and Clara and the boys are gonna be traveling all over the world. and time and space and and living happily ever after. I think Marty learned his lesson about being chicken and will probably end up being the musician that he wants to be. Yeah, hopefully everything goes well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I think Marty's got a good future.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
No, go ahead.
I never thought about that last line in the movie where he's like, hey, Doc, where are you going now? Are you going back to the future? Doc goes, nope, already been there. Mm-hmm. Like, for a long time, I was thinking, like, what did he really mean by that? And then it dawned on me, he was talking about 85. Like, that's the future. When he says he was leaving, he was going home, like, to 85 or to 1885.
Yeah.
I just thought that was an interesting, like, I don't know, it's really heartfelt. Like, the Old West is his true home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Aww. Mm-hmm. It was a good series or a good trilogy to talk about. Was.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
It wrapped it up very well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, Pixie Dusters, you're probably wondering, but guys, you still have one more week in April. You always do a theme for the whole month that we're going. I know. Yeah. But we couldn't figure out a different one to go with April with the trilogy. So we are actually starting Star Wars early.
We are. Yes.
I am so excited. Next week, we're going to be talking about Ahsoka Season 1.
Oh, this is so good.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited because it was so stinking good.
Everything about it was good.
And we're going to have a guest on the podcast. Yes. Lexi. We've been trying to get her on here for a while. Our schedules have always been kind of mixed match. Biggest finally worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So Lexi will be on next week as well. So you'll get to meet her and her learn who she is. And we'll talk about Ahsoka. We're also going to be doing a little differently with Star Wars. This coming month, I want to give you a preview of what Star Wars month is going to look like, because we've pretty much gone through all of the media that there is right now, other than books. And we just don't have the time to go through all the books. It's just a lot. The only thing that I noticed that we didn't do yet is there is a cartoon called Star Wars Resistance that is before The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
Or during, or
it takes place before,
I watched the first couple episodes, and it's cute for kids because it is for the kids. But we're not gonna.
It's not like Rebels or Clone Wars, like
not like Rebels or Clone Wars at all. So what we're gonna be doing after we do Ahsoka is first week. Or just in general, we're going to be talking about upcoming planned media, because the media that they did plan are taking a lot of different changes. We don't know what's going on because things are happening at the Disney company and the Star Wars company. We just don't know. So we're going to go planned, quote unquote, media. We're going to do an episode about the great Star Wars debates. We are going to talk about the 7 top debates that the Star Wars family has. Mm-hmm. We're going to go into depth in some of them. I don't know if we're going to agree or disagree, if we're going to be on the same side, if we're going to fight. I don't know. We're going to find out. I think that'll be a lot of fun. We might do some trivia and some other quizzes 1 week. And then wrapping up the month, we'll do what I'm going to call a Star Wars Galaxy recap. And I don't know how that's going to look yet. So you'll just have to wait and find out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because nobody except me knows what that's going to look like.
Yeah. Okay.
And then after May, of course, we're going into our summer of 90s summer cartoons and teen movies, which will be really, really fun. So we have a lot of fun stuff coming up. Like I said, Indiana Comic Con in March. Or no, we're in April right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's happened.
I think this coming weekend or next weekend is PopCon in Indiana. My bad. Wrong one. PopCon, which I will also be at with Brett in Indianapolis. And I think that's the last one you guys are doing until May.
Yeah, when does this come out? Because I'm
the third week in April.
This episode is the third week in April. Okay, then yes, I think you're right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the PopCon is the last one.
And then we have a break until May. My belief is, no, I think he has one in June. So I think there is one in June. I think it might be.
So as I said, until after May.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right. Mm-hmm.
Because May, I'm getting married.
Yeah, so you already have stuff to do. Yeah.
I know. I'm so excited. 7 from here, like recording day, 71 days.
Wow.
I know. I'm so close.
It's crazy.
And I got to move to him. I got to move him to Ohio. Well, in real time, I still have to move my fiance to Ohio because he got his job. In podcast time, he's already been there. Mm-hmm. I hope. Oh, but yeah, everyone have a great week. And we will see you next week for Ahsoka and the Star Wars month. Woohoo!
Yes. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy, logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.